Well, this morning, those of you that were here will remember, or at least I hope you remember, that we discussed that those of us here who know the Lord, we discussed what we have been saved from. The reality of hell. So tonight, I want us to focus on what have we been saved for. This morning was all about what we've been saved from. This evening, what have we been saved for? Those of you here tonight that do not know Jesus as your Lord, those of you that haven't repented of your sin, those of you that haven't put your trust in him, I pray that this morning gave you something to think about. You've got one of two choices, haven't you? But those of us here this evening that have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb because of his work on the cross, those of us that sit here tonight that have benefited from this judicial act, those of us here that in faith in Christ are now declared righteous before God. Those of us that know Jesus as our Lord, we can rejoice this evening, can't we? We can rejoice that Christ's perfection now rests on us as a child of God. And we have been saved from the realities that we spoke about this morning. But what have we been saved for? Let's open James 2 together. James 2. The name of the writer of this letter is given away by the title. It was James, and James, as most of us know, is Jesus' brother. And you could argue at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, James probably had his doubts that Jesus was who he claimed to be. John 7, verse 5, for not even his brothers believed in him. And humanly speaking, you can't blame James for his doubt, can you? If your sibling was claiming to be God, you'd be outraged, wouldn't you? Or at least dismissing them as some kind of show-off. But over time, it's safe to assume that after hearing his brother's teaching, after witnessing his many miracles, James clearly acknowledges that his brother is in fact unique. And is God. You can see that at the start of the letter. Turn back to James 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James knew that his brother was God in the flesh. Being Jesus' brother, James would have grieved the experiences of what Jesus went through at his most horrific death on Calvary's Hill. He would have grieved the immense suffering as he hung on that cursed tree. Because of the family connection, James, you could argue, knew as much as anyone else did about what Jesus Christ went through to pay for your sin. What he went through so that in love, his chosen could avoid the reality of what we spoke about this morning. Hell. James was grieving not just a friend here. James was grieving his brother. James knew better than anyone else that our salvation is out of our hands. He knew better than anyone else that Christ in love did all the work for us. We must thank God he did. Jesus knew he had to. Because as God, he knew that none of us have the ability to save ourselves. So then, you may ask, why from our reading today does then James go on to talk about all the things that we must do? If Christ has finished the work, why must we then, as Christians, work? If it is true that we can't earn our own salvation, why then must we continue to do good deeds? Well, this is a mistake a lot of people make, isn't it? Or people go the other way. They go the other way with this teaching. They take our earlier reading out of context. When Jesus said in Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. People say, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I help the food bank. I feed the hungry that way. I'm going to heaven because all my old clothes I drop off at the charity shop. I'm going to heaven because I support charities that house the poor. I'm going to heaven because I've got a neighbour next door to me who's sick and elderly, and I occasionally knock to see how she is. I have done exactly what Jesus has asked of me here in Matthew 25. I have followed his instructions to the letter. I must then be a Christian. Well, James says here in verse 20, you foolish man. James says faith without deeds is useless. Just as deeds without faith is useless. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You may be here tonight and you may believe that there is one God. You may even understand the gospel. You may even practically follow much of the Bible's teaching and live in obedience to it. If this is you tonight, James is telling you here in our reading that this is not enough. This is not enough. He is reminding you tonight that it is not a teacher you need to avoid the horrors of hell. It is not a rule book that you need to follow to avoid judgment. For the law is not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers, as Paul says to Timothy. What James is reminding us here tonight is that what we need is a saviour. And that saviour is Jesus Christ. You see, Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is not an academic exercise. It is not a discipline to live by. It is a person. It is a person. A real historical person who lives today. In the same flesh as we do. But in heaven. Doesn't that amaze you? This person, this man is God. It is not by our good works that we are saved. It is in faith. It is in faith alone. In faith of this person's completed work on the cross. But we must remember, we are saved for works. Verse 18 says, we must show our faith by our works. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, praise God. Praise God. Rejoice in what Christ has done for you, because you could never have achieved it in your sinful selves. However good you might think you are this evening. But do not sit back. Do not think, I am saved, Christ has done all that is needed. I will now just keep myself to myself and ignore the needs of the lost around me. No, it's not what it says here, is it? Christianity is not a safety blanket for you to hide under and have an easy life. You are saved because Christ chose you before the foundations of the earth, and he chose you for works. He chose you for good deeds. If you know Jesus as Lord, you are now working instruments for him. You are members in his body, the church, of which he is the head. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. If you are saved from hell this evening, then you have been saved for works. Verse 20, faith without deeds is useless. Yes, John, I agree with what you're saying. I am a Christian. I do this, that, and the other for the church here at Emmanuel. I enjoy helping out at the coffee mornings. Or I like supporting the open air. Well, that's all well and good. But I want you to ask yourselves, is it work? Is it work? The bit you do for the church here, is it sacrificial? You see, giving to the Lord is not handing him over your leftovers. Just like the rich man did in this morning's messages. It is not giving him the time you have left. No. It is not giving the Lord the one evening that you have spare where there's nothing on the TV that you want to watch. It has to be sacrificial. Otherwise, it's not work. Be challenged by what the Lord is telling you tonight. Do the things that you might not fancy doing. Within the capacity that, of course, the Lord has given you today. We read in verse 25 about Rahab, the prostitute. She put her life on the line for God. Verse 21, Abraham. He was willing to give up his most treasured son, Isaac. For God. What James is telling us today is get your hands dirty. Get your hands dirty for the gospel. Go out to the poor in Peel. Knock some doors. Instead of going to the fancy tea room to see your Christian friends within your own friend circle, be a witness in the greasy spoon on the high street. Go to the kebab shop. And if you can't get out because of age or illness, pray for the ministry here at Emmanuel. Pray for it. Not just in the adverts between Coronation Street and News at 10. Turn the television off. Turn it off and get down on your knees. Inconvenience yourself for the gospel. Do this not to earn your salvation. Do it because of your salvation. Why should we need to produce fruit? Why should we need to produce fruit if we have God's own Son attributed to us? What more could we possibly want? What more do we need to do, John? Well, the answer is given for us here in verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from the word is dead. God has made us body and spirit. He has done this because he is a God of means. And in Christ, we are his tools to bring others to him. Turn back with me to, it's on the same page, James 1:22. James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Well, what must we do then? What must we do? Jesus tells us, keep fingering James back to Matthew. Matthew 28. This is what we've been told to do. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven